you'll find Grape Encounters Radio located at the corner of Fermented and Demented. You do have a GPS, don't you?
Theme. I need a theme. That's what people always tell me. You know, the show has got to be thematic, David. You can't just do some random Grape Encounters Radio because it's all got to tie into one theme. But, you know, sometimes I don't feel like a theme. Sometimes I just want to get together with my friends and talk about whatever the heck is on my mind. And sometimes it's just not going to work into some nice, neat little package.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
And so today's Grape Encounters Radio, its theme is... with a little help from my friends, because there are three guys that I've been dying to just get on the show, and they all do very different things. They all come from very different walks of life. They're all very, very interesting people, and they all have a lot to say to you. And so, with a little help from my friends, we're going to have one heck of a good time on today's Grape Encounters Radio, and we are going to kick it off with one of the coolest guys that you will ever meet, though I feel guilty sitting in the same studio with him because he is so buff. I mean, he is the fitness chef. It's Chef Andre. Now, you got to know Chef Andre because he is the official chef of Kathy Ireland. That's not really the title, though, Andre, is it? You're the ambassador to the Kathy Ireland Empire. I believe that's what it is.
That's close enough. Design ambassador for Kathy Ireland worldwide.
And when you say design, it's not just food, right?
Not just food. No, I'm so fortunate. This woman's an incredible woman, but with her design, I could do anything from kitchen tables to jewelry to lighting to, I mean, you name it, with candles. It just goes on and on.
We have a lot to talk about, but I wanted to get you in here, especially because it seems that every time I go out to dinner with somebody, you know, everybody's on a diet, right?
Yes.
And so the first thing to go, well, you know, they'll pass on the bread.
Right.
They'll order the salad instead of the soup. And when the wine comes, they go, oh, no, I can't have wine. I'm on a diet. That's bogus, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's all about moderation. Yeah, absolutely go for the salad instead of the bread. You know, cut back on the carbs. Why not? And then people think, well, wine is a carb, so I'm going to cut back on that, too. I say, you know, go for the wine, go for the glass, go for the two glasses of wine, and cut out the dessert.
And I always say this. You know, you'll hear people say often, this is a great food wine. Then I do the calculation. I go, well, the bottle of wine has maybe 550 calories in the whole darn bottle, right?
Right.
So let's just make the wine a meal, shall we? Shall we? You know?
And it's my own heart.
You bet it's a food wine. It's going to be the only thing on the menu tonight.
There you go.
And, you know, it's a lot lower in calories than a hamburger, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So some wines better than others when it comes to diet. What do you recommend?
A Merlot is low in carbs, so low in calories. Always a white, and if you're really watching it, you could do. Although I hate to say this, and I hate to do it, is to do a wine spitzer. You know, as you heard me,
I feel like I want to wear pink.
Yeah,
you
I said
that,
wine, yeah. Right. Like spitzer, spit it out. I mean, if you're really watching, you could do that. I hate to water anything down like that or to add something to it.
Does it make you cringe to see people put ice cubes in their wine? Does it make you cringe?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah, just a little.
Will you drink wine out of a red Solo cup?
No.
Red Solo cup.
I love that. No. But you know what? And we talked about this before. I may chill a red a little bit, just a little bit. You know, I've spoken with a couple of winemakers, and this is nothing wrong with chilling a little bit. Sometimes we do our whites too cold. So I would bring it to room temperature for a white. For a red, I may do, depends on the summer or something. I may chill it just a little bit, but not overly chilled or not in the refrigerator overnight. Just enough.
How often do you drink wine?
3 to 4 times a week. I had a couple glasses last night.
Do you typically have 2 glasses, not just one?
2, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, typically.
And if you open a bottle of wine and you don't finish that bottle that night, will you get right on it the next day?
Not necessarily. Depends on what I'm, you know, I may have another glass. Depends on what I'm serving that week.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the really cool things that you have done and you are doing. I mean, first of all, you played a big part in Janet Jackson's New York Times number one bestseller, True You, and created 30 recipes for that book.
Absolutely.
What was the objective there?
Well, you know, she was going back on tour. She was working on the book. Her main focus was really to reach out to young people and let them know. I mean, when you see her and you hear her story, you read the book, you realize that although she had all of this, she was very unhappy. And there were, you know, people were teasing her. Her brothers were teasing her about her weight and all these. And she wanted to let people know that although they thought she had everything, she was going through some really tough and rough issues. And everyone knows of her weight concerns, you know, that she's had throughout her life. So the book, the recipes were really about bringing that awareness and letting people know, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay, you know, like you yourself saying, you know, you're back on your regimen. It's okay to fall off of it and then get back on. So with the recipes, it was all about nutrition, kid friendly, easy. Some people look at the recipe and go, oh, great, this was good. I can do this. So family things, low sodium, low glycemic index, you know, blood sugar levels. So things like that to really help people
do it. The biggest issue is that diet in most people's minds go hand in hand with deprivation. And it really doesn't have to.
No.
But you don't have to live on cucumbers either.
No, absolutely. And that was it. Cut back on the sodium, but give me lots of flavor, lots of color. And so that's what you really want.
That's really what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, and that's why I think wine plays a really nice role in it, because you're grinning at me. I'm going to try to justify this,
yeah,
Chef
you are,
Andre.
Baby.
Well,
you are.
Listen,
nothing wrong with that.
Look, makes sense, okay? You're eating your diet food, but you got a nice glass of wine there, you know, to really add a measure of pleasure.
Absolutely. Love that measure of pleasure.
Do you like that?
You know,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know. And there, by the way, is an instance where I advocate the idea of the wine maybe being bigger than the food. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this light meal that, you know, because of its very nature, it's, you know, it's not all saucy and full of salt. So, you know, why not have a bigger wine with it to kind of make you feel like you're getting a little something-something.
Absolutely. A little accent. Definitely. A boost of flavor. Like you said, if you're having a salad, not all cucumbers, but if you're having a great salad, why not have a nice bold wine with it to really kind of balance it off? And it's not about depriving yourself. Not at all. I mean, don't think people go into diet thinking what I can't have as opposed to what you can have. So there's some great systems out there that it's not a diet. It's a new way of life. So, yeah, why not include wine?
Exercise is the big deal, though, isn't
it? Yeah, you got to
get
that
exercise. I mean, look at you.
Exercise.
God, you're like Mr. America. Wow. It's like, I wish it was TV. We'd grease you all up and make you take your shirt off, that's for sure.
And bake me like a ham.
But the problem with so many people, and I know I fall into the same category, time. Time is really a problem. I know you're looking, oh, no, don't give me that time thing. But it really is true. A lot of people just have, you know, two jobs. They're running like mad. What do they do?
Well, you know, thank you for saying that, because that's very true. But that's an excuse that we all put in front of us. If you have kids.
I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, no. If you have kids, you always need to take care of your kids first.
Right.
So it's not time. If you don't have kids, there's something else that replaces that. So if you really want to, if you want to eat, you find time. If you want to brush your teeth, you find time. You know what I mean? There are things you. So if you really want to. Whether it mean getting up a half hour earlier and taking a walk around the block. I mean, if you really, you have to make time.
I love those women who have those double strollers that they push as they're running down the sidewalk. And then they've got the little water bottle, which you know is full of a good wine.
A good cocktail.
Yeah, there's a good cocktail in there.
And I know who you're talking about. I see her around. I see her.
Exactly.
She's everywhere.
Let's talk Nutrisystems. What a crazy gig you have with them. You're a consulting chef with Nutrisystems. And again, this is an interesting effort on the part of people who are creating packaged foods to create packaged foods that actually taste good. And there's no reason for packaged food to suck.
Right. Well, before we always thought it was because of preservatives or whatever it was. And I was one of those naysayers. I was like, no, it's going to all be, you know, airplane food and nothing wrong with airplane food, but just not tasty, not at all nutritious at all. With Nutrisystem and the Chef's Table, we've been able to bring some incredible recipes to the table. A lot more flavor, a lot more concerning about the low glycemic index, the blood sugar again, really flavorful. And I'm working with just the most awesome group of chefs that I've ever met. There's five other chefs on this council and, you know, James Beard winners. I mean, just phenomenal people.
It's amazing.
And all this.
I'd really like we got to bring some in here and try it. And then we got to do a pairing of Nutrisystems food with wine. Or would Nutrisystems frown on that?
Yeah, I don't know if that would.
Come on. It's our food. We can do whatever we want with it once we buy it.
This is
true.
You
know what? Do they have Nutrisystem police?
No, they do not.
Okay, so we're going to do it.
Here we go.
We're talking to Chef Andre. Oh my gosh, he is into everything. You'll see him and his deep association with Kathy Ireland and all they can do. Tell me about A Cafe Society.
A Cafe Society is the food entertainment part of the Kathy Ireland Worldwide brand, which is great because I get to play. And Kathy has 8 style guides. Her mission statement, finding solutions for families, especially busy moms. A Cafe fits right in there because we do everything for the family, whether it be recipes or wine pairings, which I get to work with our incredible Bruce Baird, who's our wine sommelier, our global wine sommelier. So he's great. So he told me to tell you hello. And he just does awesome things. We went on the wine tour last year. So A Cafe gets to do chic, urban, funky, fun. You know, Kathy says, I'm a middle-aged white woman who has no rhythm.
What does Kathy drink?
She has a glass of wine.
But what kind?
Oh, it depends on what it is.
So she likes a little variety.
She likes a little variety, absolutely, within her brand.
Can we get her on the show?
I'll have to find out.
Oh, you're going to ask. Listen, very quickly, how do people connect with you? What's the easiest way for them to take advantage of everything that you're doing without paying for it?
Oh, wow. You can find me on Twitter, Chef Andre, Facebook as well, Andre Carthen, and you can always email us at KathyIreland.com.
And that's it. And
that's it.
You know what? There's an abundance of stuff that you're doing. You could just have a whole Chef Andre day.
Oh, listen to you. Well, I'm just trying to keep up with you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, look, you're everywhere.
Hopefully. Anyway, hey, Chef Andre, a great pleasure to have you here today. And we're going to do so many more things. And we're going to see you out in Palm Springs, or Palm Desert, rather, at the Food and Wine Festival out there at the end of the month. More Grape Encounters coming your way. We're going to go to Minnesota after this as we continue with a little help from our friends. Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com. Oh my gosh, my favorite place on earth for wine-related gadgets and gizmos. Check it out, EpicStyle.com.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleit's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. With Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson here, doing something that I don't get to do too often, and that is to just have a free-for-all show where we get caught up with some of our favorite wine people and one guy that we haven't talked to in a very long time, and he is one of the most eclectic, interesting, off-the-wall characters when it comes to wine. Just so glad to have him back on the show. It's Galen Struy. He's got a brand new project. Last time we talked to him, it was all about Sacre Bleu wines, which, Galen, they still exist, right?
Absolutely. Sacre Bleu is now going to be bottled in Napa going forward and made available on our site, My Preferred Wines.
Yeah, so let's talk about this new project. It's My Preferred Wines. You're doing something that's a lot different than I think most people do when it comes to wines online, and you're just focusing on some wines that people will definitely not find on their own, and high quality and just real interesting wines in general. Tell us about it.
Well, I call them limited release wines because that's in fact what they are. And by limited release, I mean artisan producers who are only making 150 cases to 1,000 cases of their wine in very limited production. And because they're making small quantities, that attention to the detail of the wine can be extraordinary, bringing out a phenomenal wine for everyone to enjoy.
And they're at such a disadvantage because it's so expensive to try to market wines. If you can get in with somebody like you that can do the marketing for them, and, you know, there is, of course, power in numbers. If you put a lot of these brands together and market it as a whole, then you can acquire these wines at a reasonable price because you're not paying a premium for the marketing dollars that they have to amortize over a very small number of cases.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
So here's the thing, okay? Now, as excited as I am about the wines, Galen, that you have there, the thing that really got my attention, and frankly, you cost me a couple of hours this week because I started reading your musings on that website, and they were really amusing. I mean, you got into some very fun and interesting topics, but there was one in particular. Well, there were two that really got my attention. The first was the asparagus article that says if you eat asparagus, you can counteract the effects of hangover. That's a great article. And on paper. I've never seen that before. But asparagus is fun anyway, because I like to relive the asparagus experience, you know, a couple hours later, if you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
All right. But the coffee article, fascinating insights that you had there. And basically the idea that, you know, coffee and wine are so similar but promoted so differently, and coffee just lags so far behind what's going on in the wine business. Can you explain?
Well, is coffee the new wine? A lot of people ask that question. And I see a new trend emerging, Dave, where people combine and pair wine and coffee throughout a meal, and it works. If you find the right wine and the right coffee to go with the chosen food, it's perfect. Like sniffing coffee, you and I both know this, acts to cleanse the palate. It resets our sense of smell.
Right. It is the substance of choice at the perfume counter. And it's even more difficult to reset your nose after sniffing perfume than it is resetting your palate after drinking wine. Yeah. So, yeah, coffee's pretty powerful in that way. But now you have some ideas, I think, in terms of these really three-way pairings, food, wine, and coffee. How does that...
some suggestions.
All right, go for it.
Consider this.
Okay.
Consider this. Gouda cheese, the wine. Let's go there.
Okay.
Soft cheeses, you know, with strong or mild flavors are best paired with white wine.
Right.
So if we take a crisp Riesling, or if you go to our store, mypreferredwines.com, and you pick, say, Amy Aiken's Rutherford Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
A mild, sweet flavor that undertones perfectly with the slightly tangy flavor of Gouda. Coffee. This is where it gets really cool. Now, the interplay of the Latin American, Indonesian, and Italian roast coffees that are found in Starbucks Cafe Verona. They weave a real dense, deeply complex taste that is just perfect for rich and creamy appetizers. So you take the mild flavor of Gouda, it helps the layers of flavor and subtle sweetness of the coffee. It's awesome.
Now, what if I take cream in my coffee? Is that okay?
Make an exception there.
Make an exception?
Skip the cream.
Skip the cream.
Just go bold. Go bold.
All right. No cream and no frou-frou coffee for Pete's sake, right?
Right. Now, check this out.
Okay, go.
Let's go with a spicy Italian sausage flatbread, right? Let's go with a Zinfandel. Zesty flavor. Got one in the store at My Preferred Wines from Muscardini. It's got the berries and the licorice and that distinct kind of peppery spiciness, right?
Subtle little plug there, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Because of that moderate acidity in the Zinfandel, those robust flavors of that red wine perfectly set off that spicy sweetness of the sausage and the tomato sauce.
Yeah, that
coffee.
Makes
sense.
Hear
me out.
Okay.
Virtually no acidity. The Starbucks Sumatra has got that intense aromatic earthy and herbal notes that linger on. It's a nice aftertaste. And the bold flavors of that coffee stand up to that robust flavor of the Italian sausage without killing the hints of sage and spice.
I love it. Can you give us one quick additional example? Just one more.
All right, chocolate. A chocolate tiramisu, not a wine. The strong flavors of dark chocolate. Now, you and I know this intimately. The best accompaniment to that are Cabernet Sauvignons.
Yep.
Coffee. Go with the deep and velvety Italian roast from Starbucks. Got that slight sweetness to it that's kind of achieved through that dark roasting, practically rich roasted beans. It's perfect with a sweet semi-chocolate.
You know what? I think Starbucks owes us big time, Galen. They do. I mean, what a plug you put in for them today.
Well, I'll have them send the check to me and I'll forward it on to you.
Well, okay. Yeah, it'll have to be co-signed. But anyway, Galen's site is a great place to visit, mypreferredwines.com. Lots of really good reading there. Lots of wonderful insights. Most importantly, lots of wonderful, hard-to-find wines that are really, really reasonably priced as well. Check it out. Galen, I'm so glad to have you on. We will check back with you sooner than we did this last time.
It's good to be back.
It's nice to have you, man. You're doing great things, and you're almost godlike to me when it comes to the wine business. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
More Grape Encounters coming your way. I can't wait to bring the next guest on. He's a real fun guy from back east, and you will love him.
Please keep your arms, legs, and other limbs inside at all times. But let your mind wander. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio. Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not gonna hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
From California, off to Minnesota, and then on to the Finger Lakes region of New York. It's all about just having conversations with our winemaking friends. And there's a guy that I haven't had on in a while, but I keep up with him on Facebook, and I see him just about everywhere because when it comes to New York wines, Steve Shaw keeps himself in the limelight, and now the brightest limelight of all Grape Encounters Radio. Hey, welcome, Steve.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Hey, it's been a while, huh?
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit, about one harvest.
Do you remember the last time we had you on? It was kind of fun because you called in to complain about the wines that rock and the fact that they made a Woodstock wine with California wine and it should have been a New York wine.
I do remember that. It's a little bit of irony.
I thought that was so funny. I actually went back and met with them in person and we did some wine blending there. In fact, we blended a wine that was to complement Hotel California. But I expressed your concern to the winemaker there and I just told him that, you know, it just wasn't right. Unfortunately, those guys have their own vineyards and so probably won't be buying grapes from you anytime soon.
Looks like they've got it covered, yeah.
I guess. Maybe they should have made a wine for the infamous California Jam that happened back in the 70s. That was a big concert, but there wasn't as much nudity.
True.
Did you go to Woodstock, or do you know anybody that went?
Me, personally, that's a little bit before my time.
Well,
quite a ways before my time.
Maybe you could have been conceived there. I don't know.
But Summer Jam, I do know people that went to Summer Jam, yes, which was at Watkins Glen, the Watkins Glen racetrack in Watkins Glen, New York, which is in the heart of the Finger Lakes. And yeah, Summer Jam, as far as I'm told, is the largest concert ever. Pretty incredible.
Now, you're a big music guy, Steve Shaw. You are a music promoter, actually, in addition to being a wine guy.
I do. I work with a couple different forms of media, music being one of them. I work with a lot of independent artists. I've got one female artist that I'm working with right now, and I do work with a couple other people. Every summer, we've got at least two artists that come perform for our Live from the Vineyard series. And so we just had this past summer Amanda Ashley, which is she's a native of New York, Long Island originally, but lives in Rochester. So she's a great singer-songwriter, so she's very talented. Everybody look her up.
Now, Steve, what kind of music are we talking with her?
Amanda Ashley is a singer-songwriter. So think a little, a dash of Tori Amos, a dash of the soul of Janis Joplin. She's a really, really talented girl.
So what happened to rap music?
Yeah, I still work with hip-hop as well.
Yeah, what wines do you pair with hip-hop, Steve?
Champagne.
Champagne? Is that because you always see in the hip hop videos, there's always a limousine there, isn't there, in those videos?
That is true, and among other luxuries.
So hip hop artists are into champagne then?
They are.
Are you making anything sparkling?
We do not. There are several wineries that are doing sparkling wine. Someday we will. Someday we'll have the facilities and do sparkling. But yeah, at this point, we do not do a sparkling.
Okay, so let's talk about New York for a second. I did a story recently about Virginia being named as one of the 10 top wine destinations in the world. And, you know, you always see California on that list. And, you know, when it comes to wine, I know that you see obviously a lot more New York wines and East Coast wines than we do out here. But the East Coast is coming on strong, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I'm very proud and very hopeful for East Coast wineries. There's actually a blogger who focuses solely on East Coast wineries. It's a great blog.
So tell me, now in the Finger Lakes region, how many wineries are we talking about?
In the Finger Lakes, I would say there's between 125 to 135. That is a rough estimate. In the entire state of New York, I'd say there's 220 to 240, something like that, throughout all the regions in New York State.
And are you seeing a lot of growth there? I mean,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a lot of wineries opening up in the Finger Lakes, yes.
Is the state of New York wine-friendly? I mean, do they encourage more wineries, or are they easy to work with, hard to work with? What's the story?
I'll have to take the fifth on working with the state.
You answered it already, didn't you?
I think any state government is not necessarily a dream to work with, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that there are organizations dedicated to promoting each region in New York State, and they're doing a great job.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing about it. First of all, the world would be way better off if people were drinking wine other than other hard alcohol. I mean, there's just no question about that. And we've seen a trend away from hard alcohol and even beer and toward wine. And that's a good thing, number one. But number two, and this is something that I think so many people overlook, wine is such a huge industry. It creates so many jobs and it pours so much money into government's coffers. I mean, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars. And it's money that's being quietly made.
You're absolutely right. I mean, grapes are California's number two cash crop. I bet you can guess which is number one. but I mean...
Oh, no, I can't guess. What's number one?
Marijuana.
No. Really? No. Really?
Absolutely it is. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I guess the point being, the wine industry in general, you're absolutely right. It's generating a lot of tax revenue, and I don't know if states always pay attention and give it the TLC that they should always.
You know, I don't want to go out on a limb and, you know, throw any numbers out here because I've heard different ones, but somebody once compared the revenues that come in from the motion picture industry versus the winemaking industry, and, you know, they're both really big numbers. Let's simply say that. But you
absolutely
see how much attention the entertainment industry gets, and the wine industry, not so much.
Oh, Although there are many, I know many, you know, celebrity winemakers that are definitely celebrities in their own industry, in our world. Actually, a lot of celebrities are getting into the wine business, as you know.
The latest one is Drew Barrymore.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yep. And you know what? I'm a little put out with Drew, actually. I do want to get her on the show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry.
And, you know, I could never hold a grudge against Drew because I just love her that much, you know. But she's selling a Pinot Grigio. And
really?
It's not a California Pinot Grigio. And Drew is from Culver City, California. So what's with going to Italy and bringing Pinot Grigio here? Makes no sense. It's kind of like
wine out of New California grapes.
Exactly. It just doesn't work, you know. So I don't know what she's up to with that. I hope she does call me.
I don't understand, like, how somebody says hello, you're supposed to get right back to them. Or if they write you, do you have to write them back? Maybe sometimes I don't want to write you back.
One of these days, and at least try to justify it a little bit, you know, because it doesn't seem to work.
And then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control.
Going back to the wine industry there and the Finger Lakes region, you're in the dead of winter now, right? Are you having a strong winter, or what's it like?
Funny enough, it's been, I'm looking outside today. I reside in New York City, in Manhattan, but we've got a bottling coming up this weekend, and it is 65 degrees right now in the Finger Lakes. So we're giving the West Coast a run for their money. It's beautiful out there.
Wait a second. You just, all of the mystery and magic just went down the toilet when you said you live in Manhattan. I picture this guy in overalls out there, you know, just this very cold winter and tending to the vines and, you know, doing all the hard work to have a great season. But you're in Manhattan hanging out in shishi cocktail bars and things like that, aren't you?
The work is never done, though. I'm up in the Finger Lakes constantly. I live in New York City about 9 months of the year. My father lives in the Finger Lakes full-time, and I'm out selling and promoting. He's doing a lot of the winemaking, all the winemaking, that is, and we both work on the vineyard work, and yeah, it's never done. It's a task that's never done, brand building, that's for sure.
There are two Steve Shaws. There is senior and junior, and you're the mouthpiece of the wine operation, and Dad's the winemaker. Been at it for a long time.
This will be, 2011 will be his 33rd vintage in the Finger Lakes. So he's getting up there in experience. I mean, he's one of the elders, if you will, with vinifera, in regard to vinifera in New York State.
And in terms of the family business, will you continue to work the business? Do you have children? Will you try to put them into the fold?
I do not have children, but absolutely, I will continue the business.
Would you like to buy some? No, I don't have any to sell, but no. Yeah, but you'll keep it going. Anybody else in the family working in the business?
It's my father and I, actually. I'm an only child, so that's, just myself. I guess I lucked out or not.
Now, do you guys ever argue about how things should be done?
There is always another side to a story. We'll just put it that way.
I love the way you answer questions. You should have been a lawyer, Steve Schock.
I'm running for political office.
Boy, you do a great job of being evasive. Okay, if I was going to buy New York wine, what would I go for? What's the crown jewel of Finger Lakes wine?
Well, obviously, I have to give myself a plug. The Shaw Vineyard label.
Well, no, I'm not speaking labels. I'm speaking varietals for a second. You know, what do you look for? What's the wine that really shines that comes out of that region? Give me some of the
best. Region is known for Riesling and Gewurztraminer, so it is known for those Alsatian, Austrian, German varietals. That style, that's what it is known for. Shaw Vineyard, we're really trying to break some ground, literally, with reds and really set a precedent for red wines in the really cool climate. The style is cool climate, so Loire, Burgundy, Bordeaux, as far as with Pinot Noir, Cab Franc, Merlot, and Cab Sauv, style of the East Coast in general.
But I have to say this to anybody listening, that if you taste a Cabernet Sauvignon from New York and you taste it side by side with a Cabernet Sauvignon from California, they will not taste the same. You
Absolutely.
May not even realize you're drinking the same wine, because they will be that different. It's just, it's completely different from coast to coast. You know, it's not a question of bad or good, but don't expect the same, because it won't be.
That is true. the terroir is very different, and the climate is very different. You know, East Coast being a cool climate, and Northern California being very, very, very warm environment, you know, with which to grow grapes.
So the end result is what? How does the East Coast red differ from the West Coast red?
The East Coast red is going to be significantly lower in alcohol. Okay, that's definitely number one. A tie for number one would be earthiness, minerality. Minerality in the whites, earthiness in the reds. So, I mean, it's very, very, very Bordeaux-esque, Loire-esque, Burgundy-esque, the Finger Lakes reds, as well as Long Island reds and Hudson Valley, et cetera.
But it's fun to experiment with it. I mean, really give it a try. Can people find your wines all over the country?
They can find our wines in New York and New Jersey. We are in Rhode Island, and we actually are in one wine shop in Los Angeles. So we are in one wine shop in L.A.
But you can buy the wines online, though, as well, right?
You can, absolutely. You can log on to ShawVineyard.com and email my father or I.
I say this. I say buy a few bottles of Steve's wine and then go back and re-listen to this online at GrapeEncounters.com, because this interview will be there ad infinitum, and then you'll really get to enjoy the wine alongside the personality of the people who make it. I think that's just a whole lot of fun. Steve Shaw, it's always nice talking to you. Keep us posted on everything that you're doing. I know you're coming to California in May, and when that happens, we're going to drag your butt into the studio.
Fantastic. I can't wait. Well, thank you so much for having me.
And don't even think about coming without wine, all right?
I shall be coming bearing gifts.
Well, not gifts. We just want to try the wines and talk about them a little bit. More Grape Encounters coming up. It's the Gadget Guru. When we return with Grape Encounters, don't go away. In fact, just spend the whole day with us. When we run out of this show, you can listen to us online.
The internet, that thing's still around.
At GrapeEncounters.com.
The first glass of wine is for yourself. The second for Grape Encounters Radio.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at GrapeEncounters.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio, the best part of the show. And if you don't believe it, just ask Matt Dubot, the Gadget Guru. This is your time to shine, Matt.
Oh, thank you.
You know, interesting, Matt, I got a letter by email from a listener that posed what I think is a very, very, very good question. I actually wrote him back an answer, but I was really curious about your answer. He was saying that we're always talking about decanting wine and how important that is. And you at EpicStyle.com sell a plethora of decanters.
Right.
Whole idea, a decanter exposes the wine to a lot of air and, you know, it really mellows that wine and releases all that delicious flavor. It makes the wine taste better, right?
Yes.
And Matt, you wouldn't even drink a bottle of wine without decanting.
Of course I would.
In fact, probably out of the screw cap bottle, you would do it. Anyway, so he actually took our advice, bought a decanter, presumably from you, decanted his wine, and found that he had about a third or maybe even a half a bottle of wine remaining after he had consumed it and didn't have time to consume it and wanted to know what to do.
Right.
And it was a great question. You know, do you pour the wine back in the original bottle with a funnel? You know, are you screwed? What do you do?
There's a couple things you can do. I know that there's a company out there that sells a decanter that has a preservation system kind of built into the decanter itself. And what you do is it's a regular glass decanter. In addition, has a top to it that you can pump out the air.
You're steering people to another product manufacturer.
I'm answering the question.
All right. Okay. Well, that's honest. That shows just how credible you are.
That's a way to go. Another way, probably a little bit less expensive, is you can actually put the wine into a carafe. And we have a carafe that comes with a top. And what you would do is you would use a product called Private Preserve. And this is an inert gas. And after you poured the wine in the carafe, uses Private Preserve, which is a spray, and you spray it into the carafe. And what it does is it takes out the air, the carafe. And then you just put the lid on and that will
How does
work.
It do that?
I guess it's heavier than the air and it pushes the air out.
Oh, so you're saying you squirt this gas in there, settles down to the bottom and the air rises to the top.
Right. And it doesn't affect your wine at all.
How do you know when you've got enough inert gas in there?
It tells you how many pumps to use on the can, you know, 3 or 4 pumps.
All right. Now I'm hoping this is cheap. Because if it's not cheap, then what's the point?
Retail-wise, it's under $10 for the Private Preserve.
And how many bottles can you preserve with that?
Oh, I think it's 100 or something.
Oh, gosh.
No,
It's a lot. So it's, you know, maybe it's 10 cents a bottle or something like that.
It's really inexpensive. And when you have the can, actually, it feels like there's nothing in it. But the can is full of this inert gas. And Private Preserve has been around for years, and that's probably the most reputable company out there.
Do people ever write you at EpicStyle.com and say, this can is empty?
I've had that many times. Where a customer said, I got it, and there's nothing in it. And you have to explain to them, it feels like it's empty. Push the nozzle down, and you'll see that something comes out.
But the thing is, it's a heavy gas. It should weigh a lot.
But it doesn't.
All right. I like that suggestion. You want to know what I told him?
What'd you tell him?
All right. So I told him, yes, I think that you should take a funnel, put it back in the bottle. I said, use a vacuum then. Mm-hmm. Take the rest of the air out. But I also said, you know what? My best suggestion is just drink the wine. Because once you've really exposed that wine to a lot of air, it's done. You know, it's on its way out the door. I also suggested that one way that you could slow down the deterioration process is put it in the fridge. Right. And I know that most people don't like to refrigerate red wine, and some people will tell you not to do it. There are plenty of studies that show that the wine will not deteriorate nearly as fast if you put it in the refrigerator.
Right.
So that's something that would work too. But it's kind of messy and a pain in the butt. I like your idea a lot better.
And I know a lot of people do that.
What if you know in advance you're not going to drink a whole bottle of wine? Have you ever decanted a half a bottle?
Of course. And then
why are you looking at me like that? you're looking at me like, what a stupid question.
Well, if you know you're only going to use, you know, say a half a bottle, then you just pour half a bottle. And actually, there's smaller decanters, so you don't have to use the big decanters. You can use a smaller decanter and decant half the wine. And what you can do is you can put a vacuum in or a different type of preservation system, pump that bottle, and then just finish the wine that's in the decanter.
I can't picture myself sitting there with guests at the table and I decant a half a bottle and they're just sitting there looking at me going, you cheap, you know what?
But say it's just you and somebody else and you want to open up a bottle of wine and you know you're not going to drink the whole bottle.
All right. But the point is that you have options. By all means, decant your wine. Just decant your wine. You'll be happy that you did. It's a little extra work, but stop complaining and just do it. Right. And the second thing is that once you've decanted it, if it's not going to be consumed, pick up this carafe. Has it got a particular name?
It's just a carafe. It's a plastic carafe with a lid.
And the plastic doesn't impart any flavor in the wine?
Not at all. Not at all.
Have you tried any of the wines in plastic bottles, by the way?
I have not. Have you?
Yes, and it seemed okay to me, but I'm not real keen on that. Well, I mean, the only thing worse is a plastic bottle with a screw cap.
Aren't those coming from Australia now?
All right. But anyway, you can pour it back in the carafe. You use this inert gas. Again, it's called
Private Preserve.
Yeah. And one bottle will last you a really long time. Will it stop squirting once it's empty? Will you know when it's empty?
You'll know. Nothing will come out.
What happens if you empty the bottle, the canister, and you haven't finished preserving the wine? In other words, you have a bottle of wine there that needs to be preserved, but you run out of gas.
Well, you go buy another bottle.
Okay. I thought you'd say that. And then the vacuum in is great. And then there's that great little device also that is an electric device that sucks the wine out. That's called...
That's just our Epic Wine Preservation System, and it's an electric. You put a couple batteries in it, and it tells you the temperature of the wine as well.
How do it know, by the way?
It's one of those
gadgets. You don't know how your own product works.
It's just a great gadget.
It's magic.
It is. It's a great gadget.
And that's selling well.
It is. Because it's one of those fun, really fun gadgets that you just push the button and it takes the air out of the wine bottle and then it tells you the temperature.
So just go to epicstyle.com and search for Magic Air Sucker, because the thing doesn't have a name.
Wine Preservation Systems.
And you have several choices there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That sounds good. Let me just ask you this seriously. Are people taking us serious about preservation systems? Are they buying? Are they doing it?
Well, you're telling me they are.
Well, I'm just asking you. I mean, are you seeing a lot of sales in preservation systems?
We always have. Preservation has always been big for us. A lot of my friends preserve wine. I know you don't like to open up a bottle of wine and have one glass, but I know a lot of people that do. So they always use a vacuum in or another type of preservation system.
Now, when you say that your friends preserve wine, I think what you're really saying is they don't share it with you. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. I thank you, Matt Dubot. Check out epicstyle.com. You know, you hear us talk about it every single week. If you haven't been there, the time is now. And we've got this new magic device that just came out that tells us whether or not you are visiting the site. And if you don't, then you will be punished severely. Not really, but check it out anyway. Thanks for joining us. More Grape Encounters next week. We really appreciate it. And Matt, I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
A great place to drink wine is on a quiet riverbank, as long as the fish don't bother you. This is Grape Encounters Radio.